And joining me in the Caravia studios this afternoon, I'm really excited to say, are Dr. Mark DeWitt, who is the chair of the Dr. Tommy Como Endowed Chair in Traditional Music, and Ms. Eileen Pardee. And this is a real celebration because, Eileen, you are the first graduate in traditional music. I know a lot of people have been involved in the music and taken classes, but you are graduating in traditional music, and that is so excited. So we want to congratulate Dr. DeWitt. He has worked so hard over the years, and congratulate you for getting your undergraduate in traditional music here at UL Lafayette. So many people have worked hard for this day. So we're going to start off talking about the traditional music program at UL Lafayette and this particular degree. But in fact, both of you sort of came from the West Coast, which is interesting.
Yes,
you know?
It's true.
Yes, you did your it's not where you're originally from right. Mark, but you did your dissertation on Zydeco music in Northern California, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you became the first chair of the traditional music program here at UL Lafayette. People worked really hard to get the chair, and
they sure did.
You have been working very hard since you've been here to build this program. So for those people who have not heard you here on KRVS talk about the program, and I can't imagine that's many because you've been on a number of times talking about things that you all do, the ensembles and work that you all have been doing, but if you could just give us a broad picture of what the traditional music program does here at UL.
Sure.
Big question, I know.
Yeah. Well, the friends of Dr. Tommy Como really got it started after he passed away in 1997. They started having fundraising concerts to establish an endowment in traditional music here at UL. And 11 years later, with the help of the Board of Regents support fund, they got it done. They raised $1 million. And 2 years after that, I was hired as the first person to hold the chair, 2010. So I've been here 9 years now. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Well, you know, they had a lot of hard work to do.
I've known
you
from the beginning.
Yes, 9 years. It's almost as long as we've been in these studios here in Burke Hall. You know, and those numbers seem like a lot, but when you are starting a new program at a university, there's a lot of work to be done, a new degree.
Oh, sure. And, you know, that $1 million is the principal.
Right.
My budget is the interest from that.
Right.
So it's not like I have $1 million to spend.
Right. I think people don't realize what goes into the amount of money that goes into just paying for a professor, a chair, and the program as well.
Right. So the interest from that is what doesn't pay my salary. It pays the salaries of all the adjunct instructors that we have hired over the years. I've hired Wilson Savoy first to teach the first Cajun ensemble. Well, the first one since I got there. Apparently, they had one before I got here.
It's kind of an impromptu thing, didn't they?
Yeah. I think Matt Doucet was involved and Brazos Heval and some of the other usual suspects,
right.
but that was before my time. But after that, so we started with Wilson and hired David Greeley shortly after that to teach our first fiddle class, and we just build it from there. Mm-hmm. And students can minor in music and take some of these classes to count toward their minor. There's no specific minor in traditional music, but nonetheless, you can use traditional music to fulfill most of the music minor requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have, you know, just ensembles that any student can take. And once we added a music business major, the ensemble program really took off because that gave us many more students who needed the credit. It wasn't just an extra fun type of situation for one credit for fun, but it was actually something that somebody needed. So we started with a Cajun band for credit. Then we had a bluegrass band, and then we added a Zydeco band. And then now we have those three plus two blues bands. And over the years, we also established a Bachelor of Arts in Traditional Music. Bachelor of Arts in Music with a concentration in traditional music. And in that degree, you have to audition. So you can't be a beginner in your instrument. You have to show that you've done something. And then that becomes your major instrument. You study that for 2 years. There's also, you pick up another instrument that's another year. And then there's a bunch of other music classes you have to take, music history, music theory, keyboard class, things like that. It's things that regular music major stuff. But you don't have to read music from the starting gate. You learn how to read music a little bit along the way, but we start with the knowledge that mm-hmm. traditional music is not something that you read from the page, right? So, and likewise, none of our traditional music ensembles, those ensembles I just mentioned, none of those ensembles work from sheet music at all.
So it's a really interesting mix of back porch music and academic work. You really want to encourage that same feeling that people have when they're jamming, when they're learning from their families, but give it the full import that the history and the place that this music holds. So that's a really hard balance, and you've done that really well over the past few years.
Eileen can be the judge of that because she went through it.
All right. Well, we're gonna find out a bit more about Eileen because you're not from Louisiana. No. You're about as far away, except if you lived in Alaska, maybe, or Hawaii. You came from Washington State.
That's right.
How did you learn about Cajun music, traditional music from South Louisiana?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story. To get to Louisiana, I had to go to West Virginia first.
And how did you get there? Because you didn't just say, oh, I want to go to West Virginia.
Well, my fiddle teacher at the time when I was in Washington, she loved Cajun music, and someone somewhere told her about the Cajun Music Week at Augusta. And she said, hey, I want you to come with me. And so I kind of just hopped on a plane and went and found this whole new music that I fell in love with.
Aren't teachers great who just guide us in the right direction? So what was your response to it? What did you feel during that week? And because there are a lot of musicians from here who go to Augusta and teach there.
Mm-hmm. It was really interesting. My first year I went and I was a little shocked by the accordion. I'd never heard anything like it. I was really accustomed to music where the fiddle was the central focus and it was the main instrument. So to hear the accordion was a little bit of a shock. I really enjoyed it, but honestly, it was my second year I went. I was taking a fiddle class with Gina Forsyth, and I remember this distinct moment where we were sitting there in class listening to her, and she wasn't even playing a song. She was playing the backup chords to a song, and she played something, and I'd never heard it before, and I said, you know what, this is the music I love. This is the music I want to play. I want to learn how to do that. And it was just that exact moment where
something resonated in that song.
Exactly.
You felt it. Mm-hmm. And did you ever learn the name of that song?
I don't remember which song it was. I have no recollection of exactly what it was. I just remember the moment where it happened.
It was more like the seconding lick that she played, right? Then.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, what a lovely story to be able to say. We all just those moments where someone's life changes and you go in a certain direction. So how did you start pursuing it? You obviously went to Augusta. How did you hear about this degree at UL?
Yeah, so I went to Augusta, and I think I went to Augusta when I was maybe 13, so still in high school, junior high. But I kept going back. I went back for 5 or 6 years, and I just kept learning the music. I would go home and listen to records and learn off records. And as I got older and I got more closer to college age, people said, you know, Louisiana has a program That's all about this music. If you wanted to go to college, you could check it out. And I said, well, yeah, I'm going to check it out. So I came down and looked at the program and said, you know what? I want to do this. I want to come here.
So that was the first time you'd actually come down to Louisiana? You'd just been playing the music at home and then at Augusta during the camps.
Yep.
So what did it feel like when you came down here?
Hot.
Was it during Mardi Gras?
No, it wasn't. It was in October. I came for Black Pot.
I came for Black Pot.
Everyone said, you got to go to Black Pot. So I'm like, well, we'll come down. We'll find New Orleans, hang out there for a day. Come over here, check out the campus, check out the city, and then go to Black Pot. And it was really kind of a magical weekend. I met Dr. DeWitt that weekend by chance. It was kind of an off weekend. No one was here, but they called him in, and he came and met with me and said, you know what, you should apply and you should come. And it was a magical weekend. I have it was 3 days, but I have very full memories of those 3 days. It was pretty awesome.
Well, and just the music itself, being surrounded by the music, I guess, at Black Pod. Mm-hmm. And wow, what an amazing story, your journey here to Lafayette to take this degree here at the university. If you are just tuning in, my guests are Dr. Mark DeWitt, who is the Dr. Tommy Como Endowed Chair in Traditional Music, and the first graduate getting a major, getting her degree in traditional music, a degree in music with a concentration in traditional music. And it's very exciting. A lot of work by a lot of people have gone into this moment. So you fell in love with the music. Mm-hmm. You really enjoyed the place when you came for your visit. What has your experience at UL been like in the traditional music program? How would you describe it? How would you encourage others to take this degree?
I've loved it. It's been everything I could have hoped for and more. You know, it kind of like you were saying earlier, it's a really, it is a really great blend of putting a traditional folk orally transmitted music into an academic setting. It, you know, there's a lot of ways that can go wrong, and this program didn't really do that for me. It did a lot of things right. And I've really enjoyed being here.
Yeah, that is not an easy balance to achieve. And it helps that, because there are traditional music programs, I'm sure, in other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. But to have one set in its, you know, home setting where you can go out any night of the week almost in some community and hear it, it's living, it's not just in the archives. I mean, that must be exhilarating as a professor and a student as well.
Yeah, it lights a special fire under you to do well, because you know that there are people out there who can tell whether you're doing it.
Immediately, they can tell.
Kind of doing it right, or doing it kind of in a way that, you know, that you've been really listening and doing your homework.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that Wilson Savo was one of your first instructors. You mentioned David Greeley. And I think that may be part of the key of the success of this program. And what you're talking about are how well you choose the instructors for these ensembles and some of the classes as well. Maybe you can talk just a bit about that, some of the instructors you've had, Eileen, that you've really appreciated.
Yeah, so I started fiddle with David Greeley. I took a year with him, then I did a semester with Brasas Huval, and then I've been working with Kevin Wimmer for the past year and a half, 2 years. And they've all been fabulous teachers. I really enjoy it. But one of my favorite kind of aspects about this program was that when I went into fiddle class, every at the start of the semester, every class, it would always be an attitude of, what do you want to learn? How can I help you learn that? And how can I push you and help you learn more? And all the teachers I had were really great at just kind of identifying, okay, here's something that you got. You got that. Let's not do that. You know how to do that. And here's something that, okay, let's work on this. Let's get you the Cajun sound that you want. Let's get you the sound that you want while still staying within the music. And it was a very personalized experience.
So they're not imposing anything upon you.
No, not at all.
That's fascinating. But I would say that's probably a part of the music of this area, whether it's Cajun or Zydeco. There's a very personal stamp on everyone's style. Mm-hmm. So they would have been interested in that, in approaching you. Well, that sounds amazing, an amazing experience. How about some of the academic classes you did take? I mean, obviously, one of your main interests was the music classes. But what about the more academic classes? What were those like?
The music academic or just
history? You know, history classes, music history.
So I got to take a lot of music history and a lot of classes that focused on other types of music, even not just Cajun. And I really enjoy that. I'm kind of a history buff, and I like a lot of other types of traditional music. So it was absolutely fascinating, and I love those classes as much as my Cajun classes. You know, being able to learn about these other types and how they form their music and how they do it over there versus how we do it here, and just being able to hear about these different styles that are similar but not the same as the ones we're learning here.
So even though there's a focus on the indigenous musics of South Louisiana, it's not a wind tunnel. You're learning about it in the context of other music traditions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important, I know, especially to musicologists, and to so many musicians here who travel around the country, like to Augusta and other music camps and festivals. They're encountering so many different musical traditions. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very important part of the degree. So how do you feel now, having finished this program? How do you feel as a musician?
I don't think it's hit yet. You know, everyone keeps asking me, how does it feel to be the first one? And I'm like, I don't even feel like I'm done yet. You know, in a good way. It's interesting to feel that some days I'm like, oh, I feel like I haven't grown at all as a musician. But just not too long ago, I got hand my hands on a recording of myself I think my last year at Augusta before I came here. And I listened to that recording and I listened to that song I played. And then I thought about how I played it today.
A little different, huh?
My mind was blown. It's like, it was small changes over a long time, but I feel like I've really grown as a musician, and I didn't realize it until pretty recently.
That might have to be a part of every student who comes into this program, Mark. Record them before and then at the end.
Yeah, I know we should have done that. You should have recorded your audition with David 3 years ago.
Oh my gosh, you should have.
But she did have that other tape, so that was perfect. So maybe that'll be a part of the curriculum now, the before and after.
No, she's playing very well because she had one of the things we have in the program is a senior project. And that also is, you know, we leave that open in terms of what the student wants to do. They could do a strict term paper type of project or just a recital or somewhere in between. Some kind of capstone project. Could be a recording project, you know. So, Eileen, tell them what you decided to do.
Well, I was super excited about this project. It was probably one of my favorite things I've done throughout the whole program. But I've always loved the fiddle tunes, you know, just the kind of weird ones. And I said, I want to do that. And he said, great, figure out, you know, what you want to do within that. And I just did a really big exploration of these tunes and all the ones I could find and all the artists I can find and how much they vary and how they're still within the music and what makes them unique to Cajun music. And it was kind of insane. I felt like I only scratched the surface, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, she just got started in terms of, you know, because we worked on Dennis McGee has this tune called Reel de Coquin, and say, okay, you know, let's try to transcribe this. Actually, let's try to put it down in music paper. And how many weeks did we spend on that?
We spent a month. We spent a solid month. I didn't do anything else for the project except for work on that transcription for a month.
Now, right there, that shows the complexity of what we think of as just – it's not just a fiddle tune.
Well, yeah,
it's very complex.
The song's like
music.
The recording I worked off of is a minute and a half long. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to think that it can take that long for a minute and a half long recording.
But there really is a lot to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And especially and musicians who play Dennis's music know that, and that's why they play it, is because it's so interesting to them, you know.
You could probably have a whole minor – course of studies in Dennis McGee.
Right, exactly.
Well, Eileen, I'm interested. You've done this project on fiddle tunes. You've been taking all of these classes. But you remember that moment when you heard Gina fiddling and it just resonated with you and you fell in love with that. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular aspect of the Cajun fiddle tunes that you've been playing? Do you like minor keys? Do you like – you mentioned some of the – you called them the weird tunes. Or is there something you really gravitate towards in Cajun music, in the world of fiddling?
Yeah, most definitely. Dennis McGee played with his longtime partner, Sadie Corville, and they had a really interesting twin fiddle style. I was talking with Blake Miller about it as an interview for this project, and his quote that kind of stuck in my mind was that Sadie got in Dennis's way in a beautiful way. So the way that he backed up Dennis and the way he played chords and the chords he chose would sometimes interfere in a way that maybe you don't hear a lot in traditional Cajun music or in, like, let's say, a really standardized Balfa style. But it's just the way the two fiddles interact. They're not twin fiddling as in doing, like, straight harmonies of each other and mimicking each other. But he's not just doing gentle chords in the background. They're really weaving a complex melody. And just hearing those two fiddles, and when I recreate that with a friend or when I hear a record of that, that's what just makes me glow on the inside. And I haven't heard that outside of Cajun music. It's something that I find really unique to this style and this genre.
Wow. Again, another another course of studies there on twin fiddling. Well, it sounds like you'd have to have a partner for that, to play with.
And, these tunes, people always, you know, they're kind of the weird ones. They're not played a lot. They're not really big in the genre, but they're still a part of the genre in the sense that it's a very friendly genre. You know, you play it with others. It's a very social genre. So with these tunes, even though they're weirder and they're not so standardized and you don't play them as often, you still play them with people, and they're still sounding best when they're played with others.
Well, I think if anyone listening was on the original committee and raising funds for this chair at UL, I think they must be glowing as well and just beaming with pride that is what the work was for, to hear a student like yourself fall in love with Cajun music, the music of this area, and to be able to speak so articulately about it and have such passion for it, and know that you're going to continue learning the music and passing it along to others. So I would say a huge success, Mark, the whole traditional music program, and we look forward to many more students like Eileen coming to study here at UL Lafayette, and to go forth and let more people know about this music from here.
Yes.
And you must be like a proud father.
Oh, yeah. I should say that anyone who's interested should like go to the music.louisiana.edu website and look for my contact information, or just look for information about the traditional music degree and contact me to talk more about it, because, you know, I'll be honest, it's not as popular as the music business degree.
Well,
so we have quite a few more students than we do. So we're always looking for more students. It's
but,
a small
but you
program
can interact you a bit,
lots
you know,
of
and take
personal
some
attention.
Courses. Yep. Well, but you do miss it. You're mentioning the business degree, and I'm sure some people are saying, okay, well, that sounds like a lovely degree, but Miss Eileen Partee, what are you going to do with that? And before we went on air, you were talking about a really interesting kind of double fiddling that you're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about getting a degree in archiving,
yes.
Archives,
mm-hmm.
And that's a really interesting mix of those two interests. So what has drawn you to archiving?
I just love history. You know, I love looking into older things, and I know someone who does archiving, and then I spent a lot of time at the UL archives, and the more I investigated it, and the more I really looked into that field, it's just something I wanted to do, and just being able to look into older things and go back in history and look back in that while also kind of discovering new things or bringing them to light or really just preserving them for future generations. It's just something that fascinates me, and the thought of being able to do that with a traditional music, or to go in depth with that, with this kind of music, kind of like they do at the UL archives, just that same style, that same kind of work, you know, that's just something that I could see myself doing and that I would absolutely love to do.
Well, without archivists and archiving that music, you would not be talking so fully and articulately about Sadie Courville and Dennis McGee.
That's right.
It's because of people who made sure that those things were saved and archived and available to students like
that's
yourself.
Exactly right.
So what a wonderful marriage of interests that you're looking forward to. If you have just tuned in, my guests are with the Traditional Music Program here at UL Lafayette. Dr. Mark DeWitt is the Dr. Tommy Como Endowed Chair in Traditional Music, and Eileen Partee is the first graduate in traditional music. She is originally from Washington State did a kind of interesting circuit, falling in love with Cajun music and ending up here in Lafayette. And as Dr. DeWitt was saying, the degree is open to anyone with an interest in traditional music. There are a lot of young people coming out of music programs, both in the schools and who have been to camps like Augusta, perhaps camps closer to here.
They've done work with some local musicians. Yep. Mm-hmm. Brazos Hugh Falls is a big school out in Brobridge. And
that's right.
I know Steve Riley's going around doing some after-school programs now and so on. So any of those. In fact, we had a couple of students, one from Brobridge and another young man from Church Point, whose father's a Cajun musician. So he's going to be joining us next year. So it's pretty exciting. The one thing I wanted to throw in there is, like Eileen mentioned, about how our teachers say, you know, okay, so what do you want to work on? And then, okay, here's how we can do to get better. Basically, my message to young musicians out there is that you can always be better. So, yeah, you may be playing gigs now, but, you know, we can help you work with you wherever you are and take you to the next level.
Well, but, and just listening to the instructors that she had, that's pretty astonishing. I mean, these are stars.
Yeah, and she didn't talk about her ensemble teachers, too, but she had Christy Guillory and Roddy Romero. This semester she branched out in the bluegrass ensemble, so she got some bluegrass in there.
Very talented young woman. Well, it's a great credit to you, Mark, for your vision for the program, and a credit to these musicians who are dedicated to the program and using their time teaching, working with the ensembles, and teaching individual classes. So there's a lot of credit to go around, and so many people, again, having worked so hard to get this traditional music degree going. It is a great success now. And if you are listening, a parent, a student, and you would like to know more about the traditional music degree program, you can go to the School of Music website, music.louisiana.edu, and find out more about it. And if people would like to hear what you all do, I know you have concerts several times a year. The ensembles perform various times. How can people learn more about that? Do you have a newsletter? Do you have a Facebook page? How can people find out more about those performances? I know you send out word and the School of Music.
Yeah, the School of Music has the same webpage. We put out events, and I also have a Facebook page for the program.
Okay, so people could search for the traditional music program on Facebook.
I think it's facebook.com/Como Trad Music.
Como Trad. All right, look for Como Trad Music.
Yeah, I believe that's it. And okay. But you could find it either way.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there will be information about those concerts and the degree program, and also maybe a little bit about Eileen on the Facebook page. Well, thank you both for taking time to come here and let us know more about the program, and Eileen, your experience as the first graduate in traditional music here at UL Lafayette. And we're so interested to hear about your plans. I think you're going to go to California first and then think about graduate school after working for a little bit. Well, bonne chance with that. We wish you much success, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you back here for festivals and concerts as well. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Judith.
Support comes from the Hilliard University Art Museum. Exhibits include photographs of Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola and two sculpture exhibitions featuring luminescent LED screen tiles and biomorphic forms in multiple glowing hues. Also presenting Creative Conversations featuring art, music, film, and more every Wednesday evening. The Hilliard University Art Museum. Great art, good company. More at HilliardMuseum.com. www.tomyhealing.org.
Hello, this is John Green inviting you to join me for Night Train Jazz every Tuesday from 8 until 10 right here on KRVS 88.7 FM in Lafayette, Lake Charles.